So this new year, we couldn't do fireworks. The coronavirus pandemic forced the Belgian government to enact a ban on fireworks and a curfew. On the one hand, this was a shame, because I was really looking forward to showing my daughter a firework display and maybe talk a little bit about it. She's only three, so nothing like the podcast episode I made a while ago. But I was a bit disappointed that I couldn't witness the excitement in her eyes this year. But the pragmatic in me went, well, not this year, but next year for sure. Now, but what to do this year then? And there my wife had a honking fantastic idea. She bought a whole bunch of glow sticks. When it came time to celebrate the new year, we lowered the light in the room so it was all dark. And then we gave our daughter some glow sticks out of the box and, you know, as you do, she bent them. And you heard this audible click and crackle inside those long plastic tubes filled with a liquid. The amazement in her eyes when the liquid in the tube started to glow brightly in different colors, yellow, green, and red, and blue. That was really something special to behold. I'm sure the parents among my listeners will understand. We then used the instructions to make wristbands out of them, and hats, and glasses, and whatnot. A very cool way to start the new year with a very different vibe than the usual fireworks. And of course, while the father in me was partaking in my daughter's joy, that pesky science part of the brain kept rummaging around to see if I could remember how chemiluminescence works again. My name is Johannes Vogel, and you're listening to Chemistry in Everyday Life, my podcast where I explain the chemistry that happens all around us in layman's terms. Chemistry is the study of the attributes and changes that substances can undergo, no matter if they're gases, liquids, or solids. And believe me when I tell you that this happens everywhere around us at this very moment. So just in case you've never come across glow sticks before, they're essentially a so-called self-contained, short-term light source. I'm quoting Wikipedia again, like so often. They're translucent plastic tubes with a liquid inside. It's the bendy type of plastic, and if you look very carefully at the tube, you will see that there's a thinner translucent tube inside of it, and that material is not bendy at all, and it breaks really easily. And that is on purpose. When you then bend the bendy plastic, you break the inner tube and release the liquid that is inside the inner tube and mix it with the liquid around it. This then will very quickly create a mixture that glows very brightly. It is quite impressive, and it lasts for hours. It's a very cool effect called chemiluminescence. I honestly have to say I totally forgot about it until very recently. The knowledge of chemiluminescence goes back quite a long time ago. Actually, already in 1669, a German by the name of Heinrich Hennig Brandt accidentally created luminescing phosphorus fumes. He was an alchemist who was convinced that urine contained gold, like so many things contained gold back in those days. So he boiled it down as you would do the urine, reduced the concentrated urine down with charcoal, and as a consequence, he formed, quite by accident I assume, phosphorus, which reacted with the atmosphere and water to cause a glowing gas. Like so many things, discovery by accident. The glow sticks themselves were patented as a device in 1977 by a guy called Richard Taylor Van Zandt from American Cyanamide, a US conglomerate that did so many different things in its time. But the question I really want to answer to myself is, how the heck does it happen? And for that, we have to look at something called luminescence. Not chemiluminescence, which is a subtype of it, but luminescence in general. So first and foremost, that is a spontaneous emission of light by something that is not the result of heat. That means it is cold light. So not a light bulb as we know it. The classic light bulb, you know, touch it and you burn your hand. I don't know. I've done it once or twice, especially when I try to change it or switch it off or something like this. I'm not very clever that way. So that is not luminescence. There are actually quite a lot of different types of luminescence. The one that most people have heard of is bioluminescence, that is a living organism's biochemistry creating the glow. Think fireflies. I think that's the most known one, you know, the classic. But there are many others. Photoluminescence, for example, either fluorescence or phosphorescence. I was talking about the types just there, and these ones are subdivided by what causes the luminescence, and I will mention that in a wee bit. But first, here's how it works. Luminescence happens when a compound, a chemical structure, is given enough energy through various means, the different types I just talked about, to enter something called an excited state. So let's spend some time on this. At the most basic, when you look at chemistry and the physics of a compound, we're essentially talking about the arrangement and movement of electrons, how they arrange to each other, they pair up, they repel each other, all according to a set of rules that many clever people, far more clever than I am, have discovered over the course of decades or even a century. And at the core of it all, it lies laziness, if you will. This is how I remember. I know it sounds silly, but this is really how I try to make it stick in my mind. The arrangement of electrons always wants to achieve the lowest level of energy. This is delving now a little bit into quantum mechanics, but it is worth it, so bear with me there. The electrons in compounds have several possible places to be in, so-called orbitals. And they are, well, to make it a bit more visual, at different heights, let's say. For an electron to enter a higher orbital, it needs to have enough energy to jump into the next higher one. Like, for example, when I try to step one step up on stairs, it most likely will work. But I try and jump over a hurdle while standing, my leg might get stuck and I break the subsequent fall of my face. So for one, I had enough energy. For the other, I didn't. You guys can decide which one's which. And all electrons always try to be in the lowest orbital possible, to expend as little energy as possible, you see. That is what I mean by laziness. It's just, you know, lowest amount of energy, so that it's nice and, well, you know, stability and all. So what then happens when a compound receives extra energy, enough for the electron to hop into the next higher orbital? Well, various things can happen. For example, a reaction with its surroundings. It can rearrange itself, like the structure of it all, just to form something even more stable. But there are some compounds where these electrons in the excited state, they cannot react. They can't do anything other than letting the electron drop back down to its original low-energy orbital. But before it can do that, you know, just like a 16-year-old boy in puberty with too much energy to his name, the electron first has to get rid of the energy somehow. Well, while the boy may play sports, runs around aimlessly, or gets into an argument, the electron takes the meditative approach and just lets go. You know, lets go of the energy. And as a consequence, as the electron drops into the lower orbital, the energy is emitted as light. Light in the visible spectrum, and that means specific wavelengths that are directly correlated with measures of energy. Blue is the highest energy, and red is the lowest, and anything in between is different colors. So depending on the amount of energy emitted, a different light is visible. So that means, by the way, also when you think about glow sticks, where we are still at, that for every different color of glow stick, we may need a different compound, because electrons in different orbitals have different energies, So if you want to have a different color, you need to have a different energy. So this is how luminescence works. And now that I told you that the types of luminescence are named after the manner in which the compound enters an excited state, that is, an electron enters a higher energy orbital, we can start guessing how this phenomenon comes to pass. So take photoluminescence, for example. Photo means light, and that happens because we shine light on a specific compound. Or electroluminescence, that is the result of an electric current passing through a specific substance, the energy given by the electric current. And then chemiluminescence is caused by a chemical reaction. In the case of the glow sticks, as I mentioned, you have two containers in one. The brittle tube on the inside of the bigger stick contains a reactive substance called hydrogen peroxide. That's an oxidizer that some of you might recognize as a bleaching agent. And the liquid outside is a mixture of the dye, which will luminesce, a base catalyst that will speed up the reaction, and something called diphenyl oxalate. The trademark name is Cyalume. So, on bending the glow stick, the brittle tube on the inside breaks, and the hydrogen peroxide comes out. Immediately, it will react with the Cyalume to create a very reactive compound that in turn will decompose into carbon dioxide, and in doing so, passes the excess energy onto the dye, which sends the dye into an excited state. And as we just learned, the dye will then release the energy, the excess energy that it has, as light, in its specific wavelength to shine in green, red, yellow, white, blue, or you name it, whichever compound you have that gives off this specific wavelength. And then, depending on the base catalyst, this effect can be over in mere seconds, or it can last several hours. And once it is done, you can still shine higher energy light on it, like dark light, and it will luminesce again. I personally think this effect is really, really cool, nice to look at, and it finds its uses in popular culture too. But it doesn't stop there. Do you enjoy watching these detective shows or crime scene investigation shows? CSI was very popular for a while. Heck, I've met people who studied chemistry because of this show. I kid you not. They actually use chemiluminescence. I'm talking about the actual crime scene investigators, not the shows. I assume maybe the shows as well. There's a compound called luminol that binds to the iron in the blood. And when that is reacted with hydrogen peroxide, that same hydrogen peroxide again, when it is reacted with this, it gives off a very typical greenish-yellow shimmer. If you watch those shows, I'm sure you've seen it. So they use that to highlight blood at a crime scene, or traces of blood, because it's very reactive and very sensitive. So you actually use chemiluminescence as well to find the bad guys. So chemiluminescence both used as glow sticks during parties and for the crime scene after an altercation at a party gone wrong, straight to television. Guys, I hope it was reasonably clear and you enjoyed this episode, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you in the next. If you have comments or ideas for new topics, please leave comments on Twitter under @chemistryandeve1 or write directly to me under chem.podcast@gmail.com. If this was too fast to write down, I left the information in the show notes as well. Also, if you liked what you listened to, please rate my show on the podcast platform of your choice. That would really help. Thanks again, and take care, folks. You've been listening to Chemistry in Everyday Life, a podcast about chemistry that happens all around us, explained in layman's terms. Thank you for listening.